The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
The popular reality television show Love Island this year introduced us to their first ever deaf contestant, Tasha Gourie. Now, what was supposed to be a leap forward for the deaf community has been tarnished by ableism and abuse targeted at Tasha. The 23-year-old has been bullied online for wearing a cochlear implant and or having had it, and has had her voice mimicked and mocked by trolls. Now, joining me to talk about this is Laura Grant, chairperson of Our New Ears, which is a group supporting families of deaf and hard of hearing children, as well as emergency nurse and user of bone anchored hearing aids, Hannah Walsh. Good morning and welcome to you both. First of all, Laura, is it something that you've come across before, that deaf people are mocked?
Hi, Pat. Well, with regard to deaf people being mocked, I think, you know, unfortunately, you know, this is not really a new issue. You know, I would think that now people think we're better, we do better, we're more accepting and inclusive of people. So when we see this type of stuff online, particularly from younger people, and that was what really shocked me. You know, as a mum, my son is 11. He uses two cochlear implants, so what's known as bilaterally deaf or a bilateral cochlear implant user. So what really shocked me was, I think, to see younger people, you know, having come up with an idea for a TikTok, having come up with, you know, the script for it, filming it, uploading it, editing it, you know, all those steps, all that malice aforethought to actually get it up online, to actually mimic somebody who is deaf. That's what I found really, really shocking. And I think that just with regard to, you know, actually, I suppose, the ability for people to comment on it and share it, that's what the really shocking piece, you know?
Yeah. Now, online is a platform which allows all sorts of people to be insulted, mocked, slagged off, and it's terrible to see it. There's precious little that can be done about it, though. You know, is it enough to get TikTok to start policing this kind of thing? They probably won't.
They probably won't. And I think, you know, there is obviously an advantage to, you know, freedom of speech, because we're talking about it today and we're going to use this as a really positive experience, you know, to talk about how wonderful it is that there is a deaf contestant on such a popular show as Love Island, you know, and how fantastic she is, you know, how, you know, her ability to, you know, speak, use spoken language, you know, to communicate with other people. It's absolutely fantastic. And as a parent, and as somebody who works with other parents and communicates with other parents every single day, you know, she is a very inspiring and inspirational person, you know, to see her on TV. And it's great, you know, role modeling for people, you know, to embrace their deafness and to, you know, participate in shows like this or, you know, in a public forum. But I think, you know, it is very unfortunate. It is the lowest common denominator sometimes, you know, like, you know, when things go viral, they go viral for all the wrong reasons. But I think I'd love to hear Hannah's view on it as well, because I can only speak, you know, from my observations. I'm a hearing person. I'm a parent, obviously, so it's very close to my heart. But I think that, you know, we should always look to the person who's living, you know, that this is their first person experience.
And I'll talk to Hannah in a moment, but I'm just wondering, was your son ever kind of mocked for his speech at any stage in his development?
Yes. I think, you know, generally 99% of our experiences have been positive. And I was really loath to put a post up, let's say, in our private, you know, support group for parents, just asking people, you know, what was their experience, you know, thinking about coming on today, because I didn't want to put that thought into parents' minds, particularly, you know, who have young babies who've recently been identified or diagnosed as having a hearing loss or being deaf, because, you know, that's a horrific thought. You know, you have a young child. But yeah, unfortunately, he was. His worst experience was with kids that he did not know. It was in a local playground. It was older boys. I don't want to, you know, vilify any particular gender, but it was a kind of a group of bigger, older boys. And they were just saying, you know, you sound like a monster, you know, oh, they just started mocking his speech, you know, those kind of horrible noises and sounds and just mimicry. And then one of them actually hit him. So that was a really shocking experience. And there was a dad beside me and they were on, you know, very high play structure. I couldn't get to where they were. And the dad beside me was really, really horrified. And he really kind of wanted to say or do something. But like, they are children. They are children, Pat. You know, he was 10 at the time. He's now 11. But these are adults that are doing this online. And as I said, you know, like the malice aforethought with regard to all those steps that people have to take to get these things up online, videos, you know, and it's kind of the death of a thousand cuts, you know, like he experienced that once We talked about it. It, you know, it did set him back a lot in his confidence and with regard to speaking in public and, you know, people that, he didn't know, and maybe boys or groups of older boys, you know, as they come closer to him, I could see him kind of maybe coming closer to me, which he never would have done before. So that was his one-off experience as a child. And again, these are children and it's in the moment, but these are things that can be replayed over and over and over again, and they're done by adults, you know. Now, so that's, I just want to say that.
Yeah. Now, Laura, tell me about technology and cochlear implants and how they have enhanced his ability to hear.
Okay, so James, without his cochlear implants, James is a profoundly deaf person. So without them, so let's think, for example, you know, you have somebody at the moment, we can all picture, you know, construction going on, you know, next door in your neighbours, or somebody drilling or a plane taking off, something like that, something really, really, really loud. James would not hear that. He doesn't have access to that level of sound. That is how deaf he is. But with his cochlear implants, he has access to speech. He has access to soft sounds, bird song, you know, the gentle lapping of waves. He has access to that. So the technology is absolutely transformational for James as a profoundly deaf person. So James attends mainstream school. He participates, you know, fully in his class. And he does have access to an SNA, you know, who works with his technology, you know, like for microphones in the classroom and that sort of stuff. But it is an absolutely life transforming, I don't say altering or anything like that. It's a transformational piece of equipment. And I think anybody who uses technology, or parents, you know, whose children have either had cochlear implants or really high powered hearing aids, you know, for moderate or severe, there's all these kind of levels, I suppose, when we talk about medical levels of hearing loss and deafness, and they would say the same thing. And, you know, Hannah uses a different type of hearing aid as well, but they are transformational pieces of equipment.
Now, Hannah, listening to our conversation, Hannah Walsh, who's an emergency nurse and has a different kind of technology currently, which is a bone anchored hearing aids, but you used a cochlear implant before, Hannah, isn't that so?
Yes, hi Pat. Yeah, so a little background of my kind of history. I have congenital deafness, so from birth. So I would have worn cochlear hearing aids up to the age of 12, 13. And that's when I got my first bone anchored hearing aid. So essentially it's an implant behind the ear that conducts the sound to allow me to hear. And then, so I've had that for 19 years now. And then I got my second one, so bilateral, last year. So that's been great. So that's kind of my history of my hearing.
Now, it's great that it works so well, and one could not detect from your speech that you have any kind of a hearing difficulty. So the technology is wonderful. Is it troublesome technology? Is there high maintenance? Does it go wrong? Or is it pretty much 100%?
No, you're right. So it does. With all technology, it falters. And like I said, yeah, I do have very good speech, so you wouldn't necessarily know that I have hearing loss. But in the past, yeah, they have malfunctioned. I have dropped them. And when you're younger, you don't mind things like you should. So, like, in those times, when I don't have them, because they're so high-tech, they used to be sent to England to be repaired. So for those 2-3 weeks without them, essentially, I was in a silent film. I can't communicate because I never took up sign language. So I can speak to people, but because I speak so clearly, they would speak back. But I would have to constantly explain, like, oh, I can't hear you, so... It's an awful position to be in sometimes when you can't communicate, because then you can't connect to anyone. It's very lonely sometimes.
Yeah. So that is extraordinary. If the technology fails for whatever reason, you go silent. I mean, you can hear nothing in the world.
Yeah, and you just kind of watch it go by. And like I said, it is lonely, but it's also great as well. You know, it's my key to function as a person, and I'd be lost without them.
Now, what do you make of what happened to that Love Island contestant, Tasha Gurry, you know, to be mimicked insulted online?
I think it's very sad. I think it's, you know, it just shows a poor side of humanity. But it also, I think it says more about social media. than people. Like, personally, I've never had a resounding bad experience. Obviously, when I was younger, children being children, they don't understand and they can say things. But thankfully, I've had such support all the way growing up, from teachers to my audiologist who've been fab, to my workplace. You know, I've never not had support. I think that's really important. I suppose my message would be for to parents, because my mother was such an advocate. And when you're younger, you don't want to be different. You want to fit in and you don't want to make a big fuss. But she was great. She made sure that I was always looked after. And I suppose in terms of Tasha now, I think it's a real shame, but I don't think it reflects truly like the experienced person to person.
Well, it shames the people who put up those videos, but perhaps they have no shame. But Hannah, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your experience. That's Hannah Walsh, an emergency nurse, and in her case, she uses bone-anchored hearing aids. And Laura Grant, the mother of a child who is profoundly deaf, thank you very much for sharing your experience. And I hope James' experience is one day in the playground is never repeated. Laura, once again, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.